Hello, welcome back to Sports Sport Podcast. I'm Aiden.
I'm Alejandro.
And I'm Bailey.
And today we will be talking about the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, a recap of the NFL draft, and new transfer rumors in the world of soccer.
And a little baseball stuff.
And maybe some, did we say hockey?
Yeah, we're doing the NHL playoffs.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with the NBA. So Celtics Bucks are kind of 1-1. Right now they're playing, as we do this podcast. Celtics are up 160-59. The first two games on Milwaukee's home court were both blowout wins for the Celtics first and then the Bucks. So do you guys want to go over like the games, like game one?
So basically in game one, Al Horford sunned Giannis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he blocked him so much.
Three times.
Yeah.
And he just played really lockdown defense, really shut down their scoring.
Yeah, and they also double teamed and triple teamed when needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, they played really well.
They clogged up the paint a lot.
They that's what they did. They closed the
They played really well as a team.
The court as a
When you close up the paint, Giannis doesn't have a lot of game outside of that. He doesn't really have a 3-point shot. His mid-range game is not that great. So when you take that away,
the Celtics were fine with letting him rip any threes or two or twos,
When you take that away, Giannis is a shell.
He was still 3-for-5 on the game, but he still shot like 7-for-21.
Yeah.
Despite that, because he was just not shooting well inside. And they still got a lot of free throws. Mm. But the Celtics still pulled away by over 20.
Yeah, if Giannis were to actually have an outside shot, he'd pretty much be unstoppable.
And he's starting to develop one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how he pans out in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and he's already something else happened in that game was Kyrie was pretty dominant early on. The Celtics just kept the tempo going throughout the game. Game two, unfortunately, was a different story.
Jaylen Brown also posterized Giannis in the game one, which is pretty impressive. Because he's a dunk machine, dunking over Giannis.
It was the second time he's done it this season. Huh? So didn't he do it in the regular season?
I'm pretty sure
I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah. He dunks on everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's ever been in a dunk contest, Jaylen Brown.
He should be.
He really should.
Jaylen Brown's 2020.
He'd do really well.
I don't know if he's like just declined going to one, but I get the feeling he's been invited to one.
Yeah,
or he just hasn't been.
I mean, the contestants have been like small names, and I'm sure the NBA wants bigger names in the contest. I think just a lot of people reject it because of injury risks and things like that.
All right, game two, the Bucks dominated, played at their pace, and scored threes like they wanted to, and they tied the game series.
Yeah, Chris Middleton was really good a part of that.
And Kyrie shot 4-for-18 as well.
Yeah.
So that was also a struggle.
Mm.
Exactly.
It was one of his worst games of his career. Worst playoff game that he's ever played.
Yeah.
But he was a reputation of stepping up in the big moments.
Mm. Jaylen Brown has been on fire lately, though. He's, I don't know his exact stats, but he's been putting up good numbers, shooting efficiently.
Definitely doing better than he was in the earlier season. Earlier part of the season.
And defending
a lot better. Yep.
So, Billy Donovan is expected to be back as the Thunder head coach next season.
I feel like this is like an awful move for them. I don't know why they make this choice every single season.
Yeah. Well, they've had first round exits every single year.
You know what? Let's argue. I think he's the worst coach in the NBA, honestly.
You know what?
He's like,
I don't think we can really argue about it. Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he should have been fired because he has so much talent around him. He has Steven Adams, Russell Westbrook, despite him throwing up a lot of bricks most of the time. He's very athletic. He's still a great player. He's an all-star, averages triple-doubles and things like that. And you got Paul George.
Yeah.
And when you can't get past the first round with a core like that, and you get – didn't they get beaten 6 by the Blazers?
5.
5? Yeah, that's even
and
worse. Yeah, and Dennis Schroeder, who was a great piece. He averaged like 17 in Atlanta, and now he's a sixth man, backup point guard, and you still can't make it past the first round. That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
I mean, why would he? Why would you let him stay? They need a coaching change, obviously.
And then you watch their plays. It's like all they can do is like ISO, pick and roll, and that's like it. They have no plays. Not a coach who can run plays. He doesn't save the team late game. He doesn't do anything. Like they don't do anything special.
Yeah,
it's so bad.
Yeah,
like his coaching from the college level to the NBA translated so poorly, but the Thunder just keep on hiring.
I think
I don't get it.
I'm pretty sure they've had him for like 3 years.
I know. I don't get it. Why they keep on signing him. they have had no success. It's not good for them. I don't understand why.
And I'm sure there's a lot of coaches out there. The Kings coach that just got fired, he's still on the market.
Yes.
You can go get him.
Yeah,
and
Dave Joger's better.
Yeah,
he ran an up-tempo team in Sacramento.
Yeah, and he actually built them up. It's not a great squad that they had over there in Sacramento, but it was a really, really good team. De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield, he built him up to be a really good player. And, I mean, if you hired him, he would transform OKC.
Exactly. Another thing that he does, there's no off-ball movement in OKC. Mm. Like, Russell Westbrook doesn't move off the ball. And he's that fast and that – like you need him moving off the ball, especially because he can't shoot the ball. You need him cutting. Like that's how Dwayne Wade compensated for his lack of ball movement on the big three in Miami, because he moved off the ball. So he was just able to cut and score off that. But he doesn't move off the ball.
I also feel like a reason why OKC's kind of been struggling is just Russell Westbrook, I think, is less focused on winning a championship and moving on the playoffs, and he's more focused on
his
stats.
Yep.
And getting those numbers.
Those nice triple doubles.
Yeah, so. But those triple doubles don't mean anything
if
you don't get anything out of it, especially when you have arguably three All-Stars on your team, along with Westbrook. You could argue Steven Adams could be All-Star worthy. I'm sure he'll make it All-Star game soon, somewhat like that. He's been building up as a great player, and he's a really good player. He's on that borderline. And when you have those players and you can't get past the first round, I mean, there's just not an excuse for that, especially when you're going against only a team basically that's just Damian Lillard after Nurkic got injured.
Oh,
and CJ McCollum, yeah. which I'm so on him.
Always
but,
quietly underrated.
Yeah. But I think – do you agree that OKC has a more talented roster in that?
I expected them to beat him because I thought
– Yeah.
Well, I could see it in Portland, but they disappointed early, and I just thought they'd shown themselves to be a great defensive team, but they always are lackluster.
They're always just kind of the average playoff team.
Exactly.
Like they look nice in the regular season, and they're kind of
their team just doesn't translate well because Russell Westbrook shoots all because they're shooting. They need their shooting. They have no shooting whatsoever. Mm. Paul George was it, but he hurt his shoulder, and that was it.
Yeah.
But that's not an excuse for Billy Donovan because he's done it in the earlier seasons.
Yeah, and Paul George even. This wasn't good for his character when he said that Lillard's shot was a bad shot, kind of an excuse for that.
I mean, come on, man. It does sound like he's making excuses. I mean, there's not really much he could have done about that shot.
Yeah.
Well, when he was he was like 3 feet away from him, and at one point there was 2 seconds left. Like, at that point, he can't drive past you. You have to come up on him because he's going to take a shot. There's no way.
He was playing too far off.
I think Paul George was playing more conservative, trying not to have Lillard jump into him and get the foul call, as you see that happen a lot.
Yeah.
He shot it from almost half court. So
yeah, 37, like 35 feet. Yeah.
When you do look at it, it's not really a good shot, but when you look at Damian Lillard, the player shooting it, then –
especially with what
I wouldn't
done.
Say
exactly.
I wouldn't say it's a suggested shot, but I also wouldn't say it's a bad shot.
I think it's a good. It's for Damian Lillard's a good shot.
For Damian Lillard,
the work he's put in, and you're 3 feet away from him, and you're giving him all the airspace. Easy.
Yeah. I've heard other people talk about this, and they talk about how the NBA is now forming into more of a shooting league, more perimeter shooting, and wild shots like that. They're not crazy anymore. They're not bad shots anymore because the NBA is evolving, and there's players coming into the league now that can make those shots, and they're good shots now because they make them. So
Damian Lillard hit a shot like that last season against the Lakers, and then that's just a few feet back, and he's working his range. So
But also, when you look at it, if they're making them, yes, they're good shots. But if they have one bad game and they miss multiple deep shots like that, they're just gonna start pounding them, saying it's bad shots. They're only being called good shots because they're going in.
Yeah,
well,
but that's
Paul
because
George,
he can make them.
Yeah. If you're Paul George,
exactly.
You know that. Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Ben Simmons was fined $20,000 for a low blow with his elbow on Kyle Lowry, which was really a dirty play, unnecessary.
Simmons trying to stop playoff.
And he also got a flagrant one. Yeah.
Flagrant one.
Ben Simmons likes cheap shots, so not shocking.
And he was kind of, that whole entire Sixers team does.
His character is pretty questionable. Yeah.
Simmons and Embiid.
Like him, I really don't like him that much. Yeah.
I've expressed my problems with Joel Embiid before.
Yeah, exactly.
Ben Simmons, I don't have as much of a problem with him, but
yeah.
I feel like Embiid's character is rubbing off on all of us.
I mean,
he has a
kind of a little thing with Lowry. Like last season, they get ejected both. Wasn't it them? I know he was fighting with his Raptors player.
Not sure.
I'm pretty sure it was Lowry.
Yeah.
Two very underperforming playoff players.
Yeah.
They just love the bright lights.
Especially Kyle Lowry.
And Ben Simmons.
Well, Ben Simmons is still early in his career.
Yes, but one
still
point.
Still has a lot to prove.
One point.
Yeah.
Wilson.
That game will always haunt
okay.
him for the rest of his career.
Rookie of the year.
Yeah.
In other Philly news, their assistant coach, Monty Williams, was hired as the Phoenix head coach.
Great move. I love it.
I think he's out of there in one season because of what Phoenix does.
Season?
Yeah, because what Phoenix does.
I think Phoenix is going to get Morant and
The last five seasons, Devin Booker's had like five different coaches. Or for every coach every single season.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the front office and ownership want out of the coaches because they're not giving them a good roster, they're not giving them anything, and they're just like, yeah.
Well, Monty's coached bad rosters before. He coached the Pelicans when it was only really Chris Paul got him to the 8 seed.
That's true.
And I feel like he's been doing good as an assistant coach. I think he was with the Thunder before he was with the Sixers, and then he was with the Sixers, and that was just he did really good over there. And
yeah.
I mean – I think it's a good hire.
It's a good hire. It's just, I don't know if I would go to Phoenix because of what they do.
Yeah, I thought the firing of Kokoskov, their coach, after 1 year was kind of a little premature.
Exactly.
Just because.
All of them feel premature because it's like, what do you expect them to do?
Yeah, and you
they
have all these young
time.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have these young stars. You need to find a coach and keep them because you can't.
Exactly. They need some stability, but they get none of it.
Yeah, like the Kings, you thought they were going to get a. Joerger. I'll never get his name right. But Joerger. We thought that the Kings were finally their stability with him after going through so many coaches back and forth, and then they fire him, which makes no sense. And the Suns are, you know, Kokoskov.
If Monty Williams stays there, they can do well. Honestly, they could do well.
Yeah. They just need a.
They need some stability.
They need consistency.
The players need to understand a system. They need to have an identity. But
they can't keep switching because players like Josh Jackson, Dragon Bender, who's long gone by now, in his development. I mean, it's just killing young, promising players' careers in Phoenix. Moving on, Tyronn Lue is expected to be signed as the head coach for the Los Angeles Lakers.
So the Lakers heading towards signing Tyronn Lue.
Questionable move.
Very questionable move.
Very, very, very.
You want to defend it, you want to see the logic, but there is none.
LeBron's taking control. It's official.
I don't think they're doing it. For that, I mean, there are reports that have come out saying that LeBron has had no say in this, but I think
that's bull.
I agree. It definitely is, but I think the Lakers, as an organization, are just trying to make LeBron more comfortable where he's playing.
That's true.
Like,
I mean, I agree with that.
They're just trying to satisfy LeBron so that he can. Succeed like he did with the Cavs and somehow pull them into the playoffs as well.
It's just a bad move.
It's a bad move for the Lakers. But if you look at what he was able to do with Ty Lue in
Cleveland was so much shooting. That was their identity.
It wasn't the coach who made them win at all. It wasn't the coach at all. Because remember they had they had some coach before for the first year. He got fired. Now he's over in Europe.
Oh, it was David
coaching.
Black. Yeah, it was David Black.
Yeah, I think he got fired in Europe. He was horrible. Yeah. I mean, and I think they made it to the finals that year.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then they bring in Ty Lue. They win a championship. But I mean,
shocking. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They still made the finals.
LeBron's played that same
kickout
system like his whole career.
Yeah.
It's his system.
Basically. And when you have LeBron and you have a really good team with a big three or something, he's going to win no matter if you have a coach or not because LeBron takes control of the team. He is the coach.
Yeah. I think just looking at it from a Lakers standpoint, it'll be a good move seeing what he's been able to do with Ty Lue and how they so-called agree on what they do, even though it's pretty obvious. LeBron runs it, but still seeing the power Ty Lue gives to LeBron, it might be give the Lakers hope, because I always find
I'm not against Ty Lue, but even if he has like a strategy, like this team is so much different. They have like they tried playing an up tempo team, but like,
yeah, it's way younger.
But I mean, I guess
with less star power
and shooting, and defense.
So you actually had to do work to develop people here, and he didn't have to do that in Cleveland.
That's
the difference.
They were all veterans
last year with Ty Lue's last year in Cleveland. They didn't have a lot of their best performing players.
And
Kevin Love was in and out of injuries.
And got swept.
Swept, but they still got
and they
the
went
finals.
To seven with the team.
They
and
got
it,
to
with
the finals. They got into the playoffs.
They,
the Lakers couldn't do.
They only had to go through a weak East, and when they got to the actual good foe, Gordon Hayward was injured and Kyrie Irving was out. And they still went to seven.
Yeah.
So he
and they won the seven against Indiana. No, you can't forget they won the seven against Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
Victor Oladipo
took LeBron to seven
for a roller coaster. Yeah.
And they got swept. Not even close.
In the finals.
Well, it was close the first game, but then somebody threw it away. Okay, anyway, moving on.
Even if they did win game one, it's not like they were ever going to win.
Yeah.
Nobody expected the Caps to win last year.
Oh, no. Definitely not. So, who do you guys think is the best coach in the NBA this season?
Popovich, you could obviously.
Well, Popovich is always.
He's always
a number. No, but he did a special job this season. He had like.
He didn't have a lot.
Yeah. Murray was out like the whole season. And then he used like Derek White and like Bryn Forbes and all and like he switched his game around mid range. He adapted his game around mid range, and they got that 7 seed, not 8 seed, 8-7 seed. Mike Malone did a pretty good job with the Nuggets.
Nuggets, yeah, I like Mike Malone a lot, just because he has a really young team, despite like Paul Millsap, and he made a superstar out of Jamal Murray.
Oh, that's
and
Kenny Atkinson
just built up Jokic.
Yeah, Kenny Atkinson did well setting the
I do love
president. Yeah,
well.
Setting a
precedent
at Brooklyn.
I was going to say, in my eyes, the best coach for the best coach right now is Kenny Atkinson with the Nets. Just seeing how he brought that team together, how closely that team played together, like without a lot of star power, seeing that they only had like D'Angelo Russell's and Spencer Dinwiddie as their – and Caris LeVert is their main players.
Jared
who aren't
Allen.
Really
yeah.
standout players. They're just – they work hard.
Joe Harris.
They just had a lot of people who worked together as a team. They worked well together, and they worked hard.
I like the team that he established. It was a hardworking team, but it also had a lot of fun, and they shot threes. It was just like a good – like he said –
good balance.
He made an identity for the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's going to be important when free agents think about the Nets, because they're going to know what they're about.
And they have a lot of cap, and they're in a big market.
Go to Brooklyn, folks.
Yeah.
And he brought a good morale.
Brooklyn over Knicks, free agency.
They have a cool stadium, too. It has grass on the roof. I saw it
a
week ago.
The Barclays Center?
Yeah,
Barclays Center.
It's a cool place.
It is a cool place.
Yeah.
Go to Brooklyn. Okay. I think Doc Rivers did a pretty good job with the Clippers, with what they have.
I did love that, too. I did love Doc Rivers with the Clippers, because – that they lost Tobias Harris, and then they kept going
exactly
with guys like
everybody
Montrezl
thought
Harrell.
That they were just gonna late season tank, but then he kept them in the playoffs.
Yeah, Lou Williams, who came out of nowhere. Remember when
Sweet
he was on the
Lou.
Lakers a few years ago? And
they had
nothing?
They had 2 6 men of the year too. They had like Montrezl Harrell also had a really good season on the bench.
All right, they brought Warriors to 6, I think.
Yeah.
I mean.
They were just a good team.
They're doing better than the Rockets are doing right now.
They were just a gritty team,
and they were 8 seed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I also like Nick Nurse over in Toronto.
Oh, he did. Oh, yeah, he did an okay.
Because
job.
He's a first year coach, and he did really good with the.
Brad Rangers. Stevens theoretically should have taken a step forward in that conversation, but he took one back.
Took it back, yeah. Because everybody, they did have really, really high expectations.
Oh! Yeah, that was it. Mike Budenholzer in Milwaukee wasn't gonna be my favorite because he completely transformed that team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they've been struggling with finding a coach like they had Jason Kidd and coaches like that before, and they didn't work out. And then finally they got Budenholzer, who's a really good coach, who had that Atlanta team where that was the number one seed.
Perfect roster,
back a few years ago. I mean, it didn't have a lot of talent.
That 2015 team, with like Al Horford and like
Al Horford, Korver,
Joe Johnson,
Jeff Teague.
Some got four all-stars out of that.
Yeah. Then DeMar Carroll.
They got 60 wins. Fun times.
Nope.
And then they got swept.
But they were good in the regular season.
Milwaukee's been at least more of a postseason threat because they actually had a good player to build around.
Yeah,
I really like what he did in Milwaukee. And he just, like, he made, like, underrated signings, and then he just turned them into, like, a three-point shooting team, exciting team.
They really built it, like, they didn't build it really flashy. They built it slow and thinking of their system and thinking of the type of value you would get in certain deals, and they really...
He just used Giannis the right way. He built it around Giannis. He fit Giannis' weaknesses, and he made it so Giannis can, like, pass it out.
Yeah. Usually to build a team, you have to give up a lot of assets to acquire certain players to build a really good team. But the Bucks did it the old-fashioned way, which is picks and just value trades.
And value signings. So, like, they just, like, signed Brook Lopez, and everybody was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, nobody really cared about that one, especially after the season.
Yeah, and then he sunk, like, 153. It's like, oh.
Yeah. And that trade from Nikola Mirotic that went under the radar.
Exactly. I didn't even know he was on the Bucks until, like, the pro season.
Yeah.
He didn't play so well at the end of the regular season, but then in the playoffs he woke up again. Yeah. Unfortunate for the Celtics.
Yeah. Moving on to the NHL.
And the NHL.
The Bruins evened the series with the Blue Jackets 2-2, and with a 4-1 win away, which is pretty big for the Bruins. But
pretty good.
Yeah, it was a pretty good win. Patrice Bergeron scored 2 goals, and it was really good after the Columbus players were talking crap.
Although I watched most of the game, it was pretty ugly from a Bruins standpoint. They were really just getting knocked around, not playing physical.
A lot of their games this year have been like that.
The Blue Jackets were getting a lot of hits in.
That's how the
and the Bruins were playing pretty sloppy, making a lot of turnovers, and Tuukka Rask kept them in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they play.
I didn't watch game 4, but I watched game 3, which is the ugly one.
Yeah.
And Bob Rofsky.
He's a really good goalie.
I didn't hear about him until the playoffs came around. We got Boston got so many shots on goal.
Yeah.
And they were good shots.
And they were
the double
really
overtime
shots.
Goal. Was it the double overtime game?
That was game two.
I watched that.
That was when
I watched that game too. And in first overtime there were so many opportunities, and Bobrovsky was just really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Brad Marchand has been a big question for the Bruins. No penalties the whole postseason, and then he has a penalty in 3 straight games, which have all, I think most of them have led to power play goals.
Columbus has been really efficient on power plays.
Boston's given up a little too much.
And because Marchand has been there is one of the main penalty kill players there. They've just been able to take advantage of the fact that he's been getting a lot more penalties.
Yeah. He just makes quick decisions that are so
great. There was one where they were able to have such a good possession on a power play that they were able to get rotations in, and then the penalty killers for Boston didn't get subbed out for the entire 2 minutes of the penalty and ended up getting a goal out of it because they were just so exhausted on defense.
Yeah.
The Hurricanes went up 3-0 versus the Islanders and are on the verge of a sweep.
Right now,
in that series?
They completed the sweep just now. They were leading 4-1 coming into the third, and they won 5-2. We were following this game.
Yeah, the Islanders were
the Islanders came off of a sweep, only to get swept themselves by the Carolina Hurricanes. They were just outplayed the whole time.
Yeah, I was surprised the Islanders actually got past the Penguins and actually got into the second round. Then they get swept, which is what I expect in the first round, but it was the other way around. Especially after losing Tavares last season. I mean,
yeah.
Big surprise.
Yeah, New York Islanders made a nice push at the end in the postseason, but yeah, they got owned by the Hurricanes here.
Yeah, and the field doesn't look too dangerous for the Bruins or the Blue Jays.
There have been a lot of upsets. Yeah, that's something like the field, like the field right now, it's like pretty open. You know, obviously the Lightning got knocked out, one of the best racing teams in
Penguins,
a long time. Penguins are out, yeah.
Calgary,
yeah, they're flipping. They're out.
Caps are out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Capitals are out.
The Capitals were knocked out. Yeah, a lot of the smaller teams knocked out the bigger teams.
Whoever wins the series between the Bruins and the Blue Jackets should be going a pretty far away.
They could. They very much could.
The Blue Jackets and the Bruins right now
is the
series.
The thing is,
I think whoever wins that
open,
is the
like,
one
anybody
that
can
wins.
Like, beat anybody. It's exciting, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Colorado Avalanche won 3-0 to tie their series with the San Jose Sharks.
Yep.
I don't really know much about that.
I think San Jose should be playing a little bit better.
They had a 2-1 game, 2-1 lead coming into this one. They just lost. And then the Dallas Stars won 4-2 against the St. Louis Blues. They're playing tonight. They tied the series 2-2 with that 4-2 win. Both goals have been really good that game. And obviously Ben Bishop just allowed less goals in that game to help Dallas win.
Yeah, Tyler Seguin really helping out the Stars in this series. And overall in the playoffs, has been a really good goal scorer for them.
Right now Dallas is leading 1-0.
In the first period.
So, and the Blues are, I think the Blues are the favorites in the West. So if the Stars,
Blues are a pretty good team.
Yeah, the Stars kind of came out of nowhere because the Stars haven't been a good team for the past few years.
Yeah,
and now they're all of a sudden starting.
Yeah, look at the Blues team.
Get it done.
Yeah,
and then moving on to baseball.
Yeah.
So Chris Sale is not feeling very confident after starting the season 0-5. Really been struggling, giving up a lot of home runs. Just
hasn't been the same player.
Not the same player that he was in that championship year.
Yeah, he started off the season 0-5. Overall, he's done really bad, and he's kind of been a pain for the Red Sox. Most of the other pitchers have started to catch on by now. Eovaldi, Price just lost the other night, so maybe not Price as much. Eduardo Rodriguez is starting to do better. And pitchers like that. But Chris Sale, who's their best pitcher, and he's the guy that you'd think would be most consistent overall, has not been good at all and has just fallen off. I don't know if that has anything to do with the contract, and he's kind of relaxing after the contract that he got.
I mean, it might.
Which some players do. I don't think Chris Sale's that type of person, but overall it could be that. I don't think it's that. I just think he's struggling right now. I think he'll eventually bounce back. Yeah, that's the word that I was looking for.
And the Cincinnati Reds called.
Well, they're playing right now, and Chris Sale's playing. He hasn't allowed a run on him.
Oh, really?
So.
Oh, that's good. Who are they playing? The Athletics?
The White Sox.
Yeah. Tim Anderson. That's pretty good.
They have a losing record, but I mean, it's a confidence booster.
Mm.
And the Cincinnati Reds, who are currently 13-18, have called up the number 5 prospect center fielder, Nick Senzel.
The Reds right now are 13-18. They have Joey Votto and Yasiel Puig right now. Those are their two superstars. And they're starting to kind of get back into the talk. But having a number 5 prospect come up to the majors is a really good step for them. And that will hopefully help them out. And they could be a possible playoff team.
Let's finish off. Vlad Guerrero Jr. made his highly anticipated debut as one of the most anticipated rookies last week with the Blue Jays. He went through all the subdivisions and affiliates of the Blue Jays, including the local Fisher Cats, so that's something for us. He hasn't done too much in his first games, but hopefully he'll emerge as the superstar we expect him to be.
And
that's going to be it for our first
segment. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.